one.
Get a load of these wrestling nerds.
That's you.
Together, they've completely wasted a huge portion of their lives watching, enjoying, analyzing, loving, and hating pro wrestling. They're a couple of pro wrestling losers.
Hey!
Wait. Lifers. Pro wrestling lifers.
That's more like it.
Here's JR and Moose with the Pro Wrestling Lifers Podcast.
Talk about chaos. This week has been absolute chaos for me.
How did I know right off the jump you were going to come out with chaos?
We're still, like, we usually tape this on Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah.
And we both have pushed it off to Friday.
Yeah.
Even though we're psyched about SummerSlam, results.
Such a great show.
It was almost the best pay-per-view of the year so far.
I'll say it was.
Not even close.
That's what I'll say.
It was no crown jewel. Let's just say that. It was, it was better than that. But it was really good. We got to talk about that. There's a lot of things happening through Raw and SmackDown. We got news coming up. What were some of the things? I got things for you, though, JR. I got two words for you.
Suck it!
Not those two words. Got two words. Bray Wyatt.
Dude.
I've also got another two words.
Dude.
Sasha Banks.
The boss.
I got another two words. Beast Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
And my last two words are Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy?
Boy, we got some talking to do because this week's been huge for all of those people.
Dude, right?
And not just that, but we don't know if Dolph Ziggler is actually done.
Yeah.
I love
how Drake Maverick is on top of your mind, though.
Drake Maverick and his Toronto Raptors jersey. How uncomfortable was that?
It was great.
Rey Mysterio, is he gone now? I mean, he just got dusted this week.
Yeah, back to back.
And then Elias. Is there anything that is going to help his career? Because lately he's just been the crown prince of beatdowns.
Can you kind of take him seriously?
I don't know. We're going to have to find out what's going to be happening with him. But what are you going to do?
I know what's happening with a bunch of other people.
Yeah?
So let's jump into the news and get after it. What do you say?
Let's do it.
My first piece of In the News, Moose, and this might come as no surprise, because if you remember on the pre-show of SummerSlam, which we're going to dive into here in just a few minutes, Edge made a return in his hometown of Toronto.
Is he back?
Well, story is, Edge talked about this on his podcast, the Edge and Christian podcast that totally reeks of awesomeness. He says that he thinks he could do a match tomorrow. That's how great he felt in the ring. And he talks about a possible return. All right. He says on the podcast, he says he made it known that he thinks he feels healthy enough for one more match. And to be honest, in the quote here, I think I could do a match tomorrow. Ed said on the show, I might be blown up, but I'd be okay. It's just from what I know with the WWE medical staff, they won't allow it. And that's it.
I think he's positioning himself for Crown Jewel.
He might be.
I mean, it's a nice payday. It's a one-off. Hey.
I'd like for him to position himself for the King of the Ring tournament.
I don't think that's a good idea because
I love the King of the Ring.
As he said, a one-time match, one big deal. It's either going to be WrestleMania or it's going to be a Saudi show because they're going to put some bucks in his pockets.
Right.
So if he can be at Crown Jewel, that would make me watch Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
If he's going to be in the ring, I don't care if it's like we got at SummerSlam with Goldberg and Dolph Ziggler.
Which surprisingly was super cool.
Well, we got to talk about that. We've got all of our SummerSlam predictions we got to go over, our results and things like that coming up. But that would be great too.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll be seeing Edge on TV anytime soon, but somebody we will be seeing on TV sometime real shortly is former WWE Raw Women's Champion, Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
What?
Yep, Ronda Rousey has signed on for a new role in Fox's hit First Responders. It's a drama TV series called 911.
Oh, I thought you said she's coming back to TV like she's going to be hitting SmackDown.
I know, it's a swerve, bro.
Wow.
Ronda will star as firefighter Lena Bosco. Her character is described as a stoic and fearless member of the Los Angeles Fire Department, Station 136, who leaps into action and saves lives when disaster hits.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that wouldn't want mouth-to-mouth with Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and Jennifer Love Hewitt's on the show, too.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
You used to love her.
This sounds like the next Baywatch.
I'm in. I'm totally in. Yeah, dude. I'm excited to see her in the show.
I thought Ronda Rousey was still on her impregnation vacation.
So did I.
I think it still continues.
Yeah. Well, maybe they haven't consummated yet.
Poor Drake.
Or is that Drake's problem?
Poor Drake Maverick. Oh,
the war guy.
That. There's more to that, too. We'll talk later. Yeah, what else you got on the news?
My next piece of in the news, Moose, is a... Roman Reigns has signed a multi-year contract with the WWE. They reported this on their website and social media just a little bit earlier this week.
Is he like the richest wrestler today?
I don't know exactly what the amount is, but it says the big dog is here to stay. Roman Reigns has signed a new multi-year deal with the WWE. He's one of the most decorated WWE superstars right now. I mean, get this. I'm going to run down the list here, Moose. He's been the Universal Champion, the Intercontinental Champion, the United States Champion, and Tag Team Champion during his career. Oh, absolutely. And he also won the first ever WWE Moment ESPY after returning to the ring after battling leukemia.
Yeah, I don't see any surprise in that. It's kind of like The Undertaker getting that contract a few weeks back. It was like a lifetime deal.
Yeah.
And I think WWE is trying to do what they can to kind of clean sweep everybody up. And the rumor is, too, that they're signing people at the Performance Center that they're not necessarily interested in.
Yeah.
But they're signing them so nobody else gets them.
Just to keep them away.
If you're the person with all the bucks, I mean, it's the same move that Ted Turner did last time with WCW. So,
well, my next piece of the news, she may not be the person with all the bucks, but she is the person with all the boss. You like that?
No, that was terrible.
I thought that was good. I'm talking about the biggest news to hit wrestling this week. Sasha Banks has returned to the ring. And get this, I'm going to justify how big of news this is. Not only did I send you 4 or 5, oh my God, emojis Monday night, but also...
The way you were sending me texts, I thought someone died in the ring. I was like, oh, am I going to have to turn this on? Is it good or bad?
It's great.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks was actually... It was such a big deal that it ranked on the global Google searches that night.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Banks. All right. I'm, for one, super excited to see her back, especially as a heel, with the new blue hair, the new mean streak. She takes out Natty after conning her, and then she whoops up on Becky Lynch. Becky's time has run out. It's time for the boss.
I don't know about this. I think it, first off, when she came back, and we'll probably talk about this more later too, but coming back after Natty gives this amazingly personable speech when it talks about a year ago on this day, my father passed away. Thank you for all your support. Sasha Banks comes out during something like that and smacks her in the face.
Well,
then here's the thing I don't know about. The fans start chanting one more time when she starts wrenching on her arm and starts throwing her into the steps and everything.
Well, they
like
were
that.
Just really excited to see Sasha Banks, obviously.
I think so, too, but we're getting into a gray area here. I mean, fans are out for blood. They want to see whoever it is one more time. It could be Brock Lesnar. F5 him one more time.
One more time,
it
baby.
It could be Elias with a guitar. One more time. We hate you, but do it again.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was super cool about Sasha's return, obviously it came out of nowhere. Like we were hoping it would happen on SummerSlam, right?
We talked about having it. We even had it as an extra point if she did it on SummerSlam. Not happen.
And what I thought was cool is it said that WWE was kayfabing several people in the company. Really, nobody knew that Sasha was coming back on Raw. Besides her in a very small group of people.
That's great.
I thought that was cool.
I think that excites everybody in the building. I think when it only comes into play, you know, if you did this at a radio station where you had just a couple of people that know about certain things and then it hits the airwaves and everybody finds
out.
It's like, yes, this is so great.
Yeah. So I'm super, super jacked about Sasha Banks. Really looking forward to seeing where this goes. Another thing that I'm really, really excited about, WWE is doing a lot of cool stuff right now, and probably the coolest is they're bringing back the King of the Ring tournament.
Yeah, for sure.
I am really jacked about this. I wanted to kind of go over the competitors with you that are in the tournament.
We're still in the news, right?
Yeah, and then kind of speculate who we think, you know, because they broke this, what, last week?
Yeah.
That they were bringing back the King of the Ring tournament, so.
Yeah, it happened on Raw just after SummerSlam.
So. Yeah, so we have The Miz, we have Ricochet, we have Cedric Alexander, Samoa Joe, we have Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, also The Kevin Owens Show, Ali, Apollo Crews, Chad Gable, Elias, Andrade, Buddy Murphy, and Shelton Benjamin. Who in that group, Moose, tell me, is your favorite to win the King of the Ring tournament?
There's two people that stand out to me, and I don't know why at this point, but when you name names, King Benjamin just sounds really, really good.
He does sound cool.
He's got nothing going.
You know what else sounds really cool? King Ricochet.
I don't like that at all because I think Ricochet's got his own thing. The King of the Ring helped some people because the way they embraced it, it worked.
Yeah.
Other people, it failed. Like Sheamus, it failed miserably. I think Stone Cold, it was terrible.
No, we got Austin 316 out of that.
We did, but it wasn't, he wasn't King Austin for about 2 weeks or
no,
whatever.
He was just the King of the Ring.
He was the King of the Ring.
He didn't have to become a king.
Right. Like they tried to put the...
Like Hunter did and Brett Owen.
Brett put it on for a few weeks, and it was kind of like,
ew. Yikes.
The other person I think would be very cool, because my thought on the King of the Ring is...
Bad guy.
You always got to put it on a bad guy.
Right.
You have to. You don't put it on a good guy. Samoa Joe.
Dude.
Yeah.
How crazy would that
King
be?
King Joe.
Bro, who's going to touch him?
I'm telling you. Who do you got?
You see, for me, I don't know. I think it could be... As much as I do not want to say this right now, because I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how much I would scream at the TV screen if it was all hail King Corbin?
But it works.
Oh my God, I would be furious.
It really, really works.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen him since the pay-per-view that he lost.
Yep.
Or maybe the Raw afterwards or whatever, but he's been on a break along with Lacey Evans.
Yeah.
Well deserved. I mean, they did some really good stuff back then. But you were saying something earlier that gets me to this King of the Ring stuff. Think about the 2 weeks after WrestleMania. How pathetic was WWE at that point?
Yeah.
It was really bad. And then that's where you saw Corbin and Lacey really, really head to the top, which... They weren't really the bad part about it. I think it was everything else.
Yeah.
They were just part of, you know, what was bad going on. But now you're getting the King of the Ring back. You're getting some, you know, really good episodes, even though it's kind of chasing ratings and stuff. With the Raw reunion was okay, but you're seeing some really cool things happen on Raw.
Yeah.
Banks coming back, some of the great matches now that we're seeing. It's really coming into play.
You know, Paul Heyman was completely behind Sasha Banks getting back into the fold.
Absolutely. I think they've been working on this for a while.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, she kind of worked a little bit with the attitude.
She was pretty much holding out for a new kind of deal or a new direction, per se.
Sure. But 4 months off, it worked for her.
Go away, learn a new hold.
I can't stand her, and I hope she loses right away.
You're lucky there's a desk between us.
They destroy it.
Catch an RKO out of nowhere.
I don't like her. Anyway. Well,
we'll have to agree to disagree. And that right there, Moose, will conclude... In the news.
It's no more news?
That's it.
Okay.
That's all I got for you. Just heavy, big stories. Boom, 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 out.
Well, let's talk about SummerSlam.
Please. And let's talk about why it was the best show of the year so far.
No, it wasn't WrestleMania. WrestleMania can't be topped this year. Not by any pay-per-view. It's not going to happen. The only thing that was good about SummerSlam, if you take off the pre-show, which was really entertaining, 3.5 hours.
Yeah. I liked
compared it. Compared to 7 hours of wrestling with WrestleMania.
You know what I liked about the pre-show was Alexa Bliss dressed up like Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, there was a lot of cosplay going on.
And also, I always look at WrestleMania as the final show of the WWE calendar year. I always look at the Raw after Mania as the first day, as their like New Year's Day.
Right, and you're thinking, so...
That's why SummerSlam's been the best show of the year.
WrestleMania is the Super Bowl... And now then as soon as we get to Raw after WrestleMania, we're back into the preseason.
We're back right square one.
Yeah.
No, there's no preseason. There's no off season. Week one.
Well, but what is SummerSlam? Is it the first granddaddy of them all? Is that what it is?
It's
a crosstown rivalry.
Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl.
It's the Mega Bowl.
It's the Mega Bowl for the Mega Bucks, and the Mega Powers explode.
But no, we had, did you, if you caught any of the pre-show, we talked about Edge coming back.
Yep.
Which was really super exciting. Cool.
Dude, the reaction that he got when he came down to that ring and speared him.
He's in Canada. It's
I know, but
happen.
Still, it was super cool to see.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of things that we don't think about, but that WWE is doing now that they weren't doing before. Those kind of special things, they weren't doing that after WrestleMania. So now that this hit with this pay-per-view, it really worked. I think there was a couple of great things that we had the Drew Gulak Larkin match that went on that was really good.
That guy's really interesting to follow on Twitter, by the way, Larkin.
Really?
Yeah, he has a lot of stuff to say.
Yeah. Okay.
It's
like,
weird.
Like good, bad?
Just like straight, just like badass talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like he's Batman or something?
Like all caps, angry at people.
Oh, like Iron Sheik.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But,
except a little more coherent.
And a lot less cussing, maybe?
Yeah, a lot less tequila.
Well, you had the Drew Gulak match against Larkin. Drew Gulak won. We both got that one right.
Yep.
And we're going to start this off by saying, look, we've got the belt on the line for these predictions here. And I could cash in the... what is we've changed the logo on it now.
Yeah.
It's the Pro Wrestling Lifers Money in the Bank briefcase that I won it
with a John Cena towel inside as a bonus.
Which I should be whooping your ass with because I got a bad feeling about this pay-per-view. But, but then we had a neat little match with Buddy Murphy that wasn't on the card, which got interrupted very quickly with Rowan. And, man, did you see where Rowan picked him up and threw him against the post?
Dude, brutal.
How did he walk after that?
I don't know. Like, I was like, dude, bones are broken.
And then Elias came out to sing a song. Edge came out, speared him. Then we're back into the pay-per-view.
Boom.
So
you're right. That's like an entertaining pre-show right there.
It was. The best thing about the best and worst thing about SummerSlam, the best thing, they brought back Pyro.
Yeah. How surprised were you when the opening pay-per-view hit?
Why was it just, it wasn't just me, because as soon as I saw Pyro, I was like, whoa, they haven't done that in a long
since
time.
Since what, the Crown Jewel, whatever it was?
Right, but I mean, you don't get it all the time. We used to get it on Raw every night.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it just brought like an extra piece of excitement. And it was a surprise, so.
It was nice. But what was bad was we have the whole new network, the WWE network. It's nice to navigate and everything like that. But I think with this first pay-per-view, we had some issues. Because I've heard about a lot of audio issues not being synced up, especially during the pre-show. And I've also heard about, and I actually experienced, because when I hit into SummerSlam, I was starting about 15 minutes late.
I see. I started an hour behind.
Yeah, and it skipped like parts of matches and things like that. So when we got to the Bray Wyatt match, it skipped through almost the whole thing.
Oh,
and I had
God.
To rewind and figure it out. I'm on my Apple TV trying to get it back. So
you see, the only thing that happened to me, I was streaming it from my Xbox. It was just sometimes the frame would freeze, but the audio would keep going.
Right.
And then a couple seconds later, it would catch back up.
And I think you get that occasionally with
just,
Wi-Fi
it's
and
the
stuff
internet,
like that.
Yeah.
But the things I was experiencing, I'm not the only
Super annoying.
I wasn't. And then the Seth match, it skipped like 3 minutes through the match.
Dude, great match.
Okay, I've got to watch the last two matches over again. But we'll get to those.
But they were worth it.
Becky Natty started it off.
How surprised were you to see those two kick off the show?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought, now that you have really important championships like the Women's Championship, whether it's the Raw or SmackDown title, obviously, Becky Lynch is the queen right now, I mean, so to speak, of WWE. Dude, she's on the cover of the game. You're bringing back Sasha Banks to make her look even stronger.
Listen.
Sasha will not beat Becky
Lynch.
Yes,
she will.
No.
At Clash of Champions, she will. But listen to this.
The thing she said about McMahon on Twitter?
Hold on.
Not going to happen.
Hold on. Don't ever call Becky Lynch the queen, first of all.
No.
When Becky Lynch.
You know when I say she's
hold
the
on,
man.
Moose. Hold on. When Becky Lynch gets brought into WrestleMania via helicopter, then maybe she can call herself the queen. Till then, bow down to Charlotte Flair. Woo!
Basically, she's the number one woman. She's the number one woman in wrestling right now. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know.
My God,
I think there's a better women's champion in the company.
There's a backhand coming over.
There's a better women's champion on the Tuesday night show.
But a great match though.
Oh yeah, it was good,
dude. I loved how you had Becky was working on, of course,
the arm.
The arm from Natty. And Natty was working on her back and had her in like a sharpshooter on the second rope.
Dude.
Over the top rope, too. It was so great.
Yeah.
Great, great visual.
And I think what really put the match over the top for me was the fact that it was a submission match, and it made it super easy to follow.
And they did stuff that's kind of basic. And remember I said that. There's some basic things that are super entertaining with wrestling. They had each of them do the other person's submission hold.
Yeah.
Super exciting. It happened at perfect time.
Natty almost had her.
And it looked really like she was actually going to lose. I mean, the crowd was going nuts.
Yeah, dude.
And they really knew how to work the crowd. Came back, Becky won.
Yep.
We both said Becky was going to win. We're both awesome.
But what was cool, for a second, I was like, you know what? It's our home country, like it's Toronto. It was close, man. I thought she almost had her.
Yeah, you knew something was going to happen with Toronto because you have three people on the card. You had Trish, three different matches.
Yeah.
You had Trish, obviously from Toronto, Natty from Toronto, and... who was the other one? Trish, Kofi.
Ooh, Edge?
Edge was there, but I thought there was a third Toronto person on the card. There was a third match.
Huh.
Man, where did I get that?
I'm sure it will come across.
Yeah, it'll come across. But it was cool. They really had the crowd in the palm of their hand at that point. And what happened next even had them more in the palm of their hand. Dolph Ziggler, Goldberg, incredible. Probably a 4-3 minute, maybe 2 minute match.
Dude, you know what it was about this? As soon as Goldberg made his entrance, I stood up. I was just that excited about it.
Why is it that he can still, even after the match that they had last time with Undertaker, why is it that he is still that powerful? He's just that charismatic.
Yeah.
He's just that.
He makes you believe it.
There's something about him that just, he looks like a freaking Wolverine. I mean,
yeah.
The guy looks really cool.
Yeah.
So when he walked in, especially when he walked in and Ziggler, pop, pop, hit him with two super kicks.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
Super kick, I literally, if I wasn't already standing up, I would have jumped out of my seat. I thought it was over.
Can you imagine being in the crowd then? Because I would have been like, what?
Yeah.
We would have been looking at each other, really going, what is going on?
Freaking out.
Yes.
Dude, because, I thought it was over.
Well, and he got two on the second one. I was like, he's going to do it again.
Yeah, but you never go for it three times. And that's where Dolph Ziggler went wrong.
But I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Ziggler, Goldberg would not look as strong as he looks.
Dude, that match was just those spears.
Ziggler,
they look brutal as all get out, huh?
I don't want to talk inside too much, but man, the way he sold everything that Goldberg did to him, unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It looked like he was just getting killed.
Yeah, cut in half.
Yeah.
For sure. So Goldberg wins. We both win, I think. Did we both pick Goldberg?
Yeah, what I liked about it.
Did you pick Ziggler?
No. What I liked about it
you
after.
You did.
No, I did not.
I'm just kidding.
What I liked about it after is Ziggler gets on the mic. That's
right.
All you got, Goldberg. That's all you got.
Brings him out.
And the crowd's like, yeah. You know what I mean? They're like, come on, come on.
Well, it's totally kind of a play on things where he did that on Raw as well.
Yeah.
It's basically, if you've ever seen The Holy Grail from Monty Python, there's a scene in there, and it's this this knight.
Is that where the guy gets his arm chopped off?
He gets his arm cut off, and he's like, oh, this is a flesh wound.
Yeah.
Come at me. And he gets his other one chopped off and his legs, and he's like, I'll bite you in the kneecaps. You know, so it was really, really funny, and it's kind of a play on that. And he really actually used one of the lines,
you know,
like on Raw. When he was like, oh, it's just merely a flesh wound. You know, that's exactly the line. So you
that's funny.
Exactly,
I didn't even know that.
The thing he's playing. But, you know, Goldberg squashed Dolph. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And went right into AJ Styles Ricochet.
Which was the match you needed after that kind of, you know, craziness with Goldberg.
Well, the crowd were on their feet. They were definitely going to stay on their feet for this one. This match was fun. It was a little shorter than I wanted to be.
Yeah.
But we saw some super cool things, not talking about Ricochet's outfit. That Darkwing-inspired thing was no.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
If you've got 10 abs, 15 abs, whatever
Don't
it
ever
is,
cover them up.
Don't cover them up.
No.
I mean, look at, what is it, Gulak?
Yeah.
And the other guy, they've got like, got to look at the abs.
Yeah.
They're right here. Come on. But still, Ricochet didn't disappoint.
How about when Ricochet runs over the shoulders of, you know, Gallows and Anderson then to jump on? I was like, Are you kidding me?
If you didn't see it, which I'm sure you have if you're listening to this podcast, but him to jump off the, you know, off the edge of the apron.
Yep.
You know, off the two different shoulders of Gallows and Anderson, and then Hurricane Rana,
yeah,
AJ Styles to the floor.
You know how much room for error there is with that?
About a mile.
Exactly.
About a mile.
And for them to pull that off, I was blown away with that move.
Yeah, I've got that written down. Plus the finisher, AJ Styles catching Ricochet halfway through the air.
Yep.
Throwing him right into the Styles Clash.
Boom.
It was a great match because it was such a, I hate to use the word, but Ricochet. It would just go bounce from one end to the other, and you just emotionally and we're like exhausted.
Yeah.
AJ Styles pulls out the win. Did you have Ricochet on that?
Stop it.
No, you didn't. Yeah, AJ Styles.
I took the face that runs the place, the leader of the OC.
What, the champ that runs the camp?
Yep.
Whatever. Ember Moon and Bayley. This match sucked.
Are you kidding me? You're just trying to get a rise out of me. You don't really think that.
Look,
dude, it was damn good.
I think what we've had here, besides Trish Stratus doing a completely terrible promo, from Becky Lynch all the way up to AJ Styles and Ricochet, this thing was on fire. People needed a break. This match was the break. Everybody was tired. The crowd didn't care less about
regardless,
this match.
It was a damn good match.
It was okay. Ember did look strong, though. Ember looked like she belonged in that title picture. The finish was really cool.
Bailey to belly, second rope. It looked awesome.
Yeah, so I mean that part of it was cool. I mean, I never want to dog on Ember Moon because Ember Moon, I think, is really underappreciated.
You'll dog Bailey any day.
Look, Bailey, I liked it when she had that aggression.
She's one of the better female competitors in the company.
The biggest thing with this match, it just hadn't happened. We talked about this before the show.
How do you follow AJ and Ricochet? I don't care who you are.
No. If you had a story, if you had something that
Well, that
really,
was the problem with the match. Is
totally
there was
the
no
problem.
There was no personal tension. It was just a contest. It was right. just an exhibition, really.
But it wasn't anything that anybody cared about because it was like, you know,
but still,
Bailey handpicked her.
But still, they executed
awkwardly.
The match well.
They executed the match okay.
There was just no personal investment
right
for us fans.
I thought Ember Moon looked really, really good in this match.
Yeah, I thought she looked good laying on her back looking up at the lights for the 1-2-3.
Yeah, and that's where I picked Ember Moon. You picked Bailey, of course.
Hey, we want
some. So basically
Bayley.
you're up by one.
Damn right.
KO and Shane. Kevin Owens.
What'd you think about this one?
Well, the thing is I didn't like about it, and it came true, was the finish with him going up and kicking him in the manhood.
Yep.
It gives Shane McMahon a reason to still hang around because it's like, oh, no, now he's going to come back and say you cheated.
Yep.
And you got all this stuff, which ended up happening. You know, I thought this was the demise of Shane McMahon, though it did put Shane McMahon kind of in a lower part of the, I don't know, spotlight, so to speak. We didn't see much of him on SmackDown when it comes to what we've seen Shane McMahon
which
lately,
was cool,
which was really good.
It was needed.
But the Elias with a guest enforcer, which I didn't get this part. He's the guest enforcer, but he wears referee stripes. Kevin Owens beats the crap out of him, but yet does not get disqualified.
Yeah, it was
but don't touch the referee.
No, it was a gray area there
a little bit.
It was a little EC, you know. We just throw the rules out as we go.
But I thought it was fun to watch. It definitely had some comic relief to it when he was wanting to hit him with a chair, and Shane's just like, go ahead. And it reminded me of what they kind of played out AEW there. I mean, they kind of did a mock of AEW because Shane just basically was going to stand there and take it, you know. But obviously, Kevin Owens couldn't get disqualified. Distracts the ring. Ref kicks him in.
It reminded me of Steve Austin whooping up on Vince McMahon at their St. Valentine's Day Massacre show.
Yeah.
Austin's leaving the cage. Vince gets up on his knees, flips him the two birds. Austin has to come back in and whoop him up some more.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seemed like a little bit to me.
Well, it was good to see Kevin Owens win, so he's not quitting. You know?
Good.
He's not going to be a quitter.
We need him.
We both picked Kevin Owens to win, so that's fine. Charlotte versus Trish Stratus.
Surprisingly, very good.
How?
Because I felt, all right, you know, I think Charlotte Flair could carry a broomstick through a 4-star match. And that's essentially what she did. No knock at Trish, but you talked about earlier her promo, brutal.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Just wasn't good. Like, I didn't believe
Look,
that she could actually compete. Now, there were spots in the match All right, so when they're on the top rope, Charlotte's sitting up on the top rope, Trish is going to go for the Hurricane Rana. She jumps too far. You saw how far Charlotte leaned back to like hold her
right.
So she wouldn't go over, and she carried her through her little springboard bulldog. Like Charlotte made everything look so freaking good.
Yeah, and I have this is the exact words I have, and let me preface this by saying this isn't a knock against Trish Stratus.
No way.
At all. This, you know, I think Trish Stratus had scripts that she was supposed to go by. It never works when you do that.
No.
If you just give like a glossary or a outline of what's going to happen, then let the artist or the wrestler do what they do, they'll get there, you know. But when it comes to in-ring capabilities, I never thought this would be as good as it was.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte Flair.
Surprisingly a lot better than I thought.
I think if you've watched wrestling for a very, very long time, and if you look for it, if you look for those things like you were just talking about, JR, if you look for those different spots and some of the flips that Trish Stratus pulled off, no knock against Trish Stratus. She hasn't been in the ring since Evolution.
Yep.
And that didn't look that great.
No, that was tough.
So, and this was her swan song, so to speak. So I think the best person to have in the ring with her is Charlotte to make it look fantastic. Also,
yeah, absolutely. And you have to think like how difficult it is to like get in that ring and be a performer at the highest level.
Right.
And that's going to be an incredible feat. And
she's a year younger than I am. I couldn't imagine doing that in the ring.
No.
Can't think about doing that.
So, yeah, surprisingly, I thought that match was, I was like, damn, this is really good. I'm really enjoying this.
And it was a good, and we knew Charlotte, both of us knew Charlotte was going to win this match because that's the right thing to do. It's professional and professional wrestling to have the Hall of Famer
go out on
the,
their back.
Someone that's going away is going out on their back. Yeah. That's just the way it happens.
But how cool was it when Trish had Flair in the figure four and then bridged it into the figure eight?
That was great.
I was like, yes, this is cool.
See, and there were some things that happened a couple of times, like that happened, of course, in the first match with the ladies. But it's those simple things, those basic things. I'm glad you brought that up because some of those basic emotional ties that you overthink really came out in this pay-per-view and made it exciting. And it wasn't at that point, but there was a point just before that where I actually started to get into the match because it took off really slow.
Yep.
It built into something special, and by the end, it was like, yes.
Yep.
You know, so.
Absolutely, man.
But she
I
got
agree.
To take a bow in her home country. Everybody appreciates her. Yeah. We all do. We all think she's amazing. She looks great for her.
Oh, gosh.
For how old she is. She's not that old.
No.
Then we went into Orton and Kofi. This is the most disappointing thing of the entire pay-per-view.
And it sucks to say that because there's so much promise with this. I felt like going into the show, this is one of the matches that I was the most excited about, honestly.
I honestly was with you on this.
Because of the backstory, the history, and the whole stupid. But it just didn't play out right. And Randy seemed a lot more methodic and slow than he usually is. Like, usually it's at a good heel's pace.
Right.
But it seemed like he was just like a sloth out there.
And these are the things that we've got to think about sometimes, or I forget about thinking about when we talk about picking these matches. Because I picked Randy Orton in this match, and Randy Orton didn't win, but nor did Kofi Kingston.
No, so us as fans didn't win
either. And I don't think anybody that was watching won either, but it's an 11-year history.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it in one pay-per-view?
No.
No. And I didn't think about that before when I was thinking about this.
About the ending of the match.
Yeah, the ending of the match. I mean, you're going to take 11 years and do it in one match?
You see, I didn't even see Orton out on the outside trash-talking Kofi's family.
I don't even think he trash-talked. I think it was just a sneaky eyeball or a friendly eyeball.
And then,
kids, I'm going to eat you for lunch.
Yeah, next thing you know, Kofi's out there and it's just counted out.
Well, I mean, Kofi did do a little bit of damage.
Yeah.
Good God. He looked like Charlotte Flair on Ronda Rousey with that kendo stick.
Dude.
Or with Ken.
How brutal was that?
Yeah, he picked up Ken and went to town.
Ken's still hanging around.
But yeah, I think everybody, you and I both, were all disappointed. I think it was the right thing to continue on the feud, but I think there could have been something that they could have did differently.
Yeah.
But double countouts are never done anymore.
No.
And I think, like you said, it's emotion.
Yeah.
You get the fans. Think about the roller coaster you were on watching this. You went from Becky high, Goldberg higher, Ricochet down, Ember way down, KO back up again, Charlotte back up, this is down. Then you went back up again because then we got the best thing everybody's been talking about, Nothing is going to overtop this as a re-debut of somebody. And we're talking about Bray Wyatt.
Dude,
are you sold on the Firefly Funhouse yet?
I was sold the moment he comes. The entrance itself is like indescribable.
Well, he had music that was like his old music, but a different reworking with lyrics.
It was cool.
It's so scary.
And when you see him come down, the mask is still so visually stunning.
Right.
That you, for a second, you're like, this isn't a wrestling show. This is a horror movie. Right. Especially when you see a mold of his own real head and face as a lantern.
Right.
That creeped me the hell out, dude. I got the heebie-jeebies.
And how smart were they? This is where I'm going, oh my gosh, these guys are geniuses, because you've not seen him in a long time enter the ring as, or you haven't seen him at all enter as, of course, the Firefly Funhouse host / fiend.
Yeah.
And when you do, you're expecting to see some things like you got before. You're getting little nuances, like you're still getting the Fireflies with the Funhouse. You're still getting the actual theme of his song, but it's so reworked, you almost don't recognize it.
Yeah.
Then you're like, where's the lantern? And you see this little blue hazy light. You're looking at it, and then all of a sudden you see lips around it.
Yeah.
And then his face comes into pictures, and his eyes are stitched shut.
You're just like, what in the world?
It was the scariest thing I've seen since Undertaker barfed, I think, from the... whatchamacallit? What's the guy's name? The
Undertaker? No, Warrior Barf.
The Warrior puked up for
Papa Shango.
Papa Shango. And Papa Shango was scary for the day. This is the new Papa Shango.
Yeah, but way cooler.
Way, way cooler. The match, though, think about it. How well they set this up. Finn Balor comes out all in white.
Yeah.
It reminded you of Shawn Michaels' Undertaker.
It reminded me of Good versus Evil.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels' Undertaker. Yep. I think that was their first bout, or was it the second one?
It might have been the first.
I think it was the first, where he's all, heaven. And basically, Finn Balor was destroyed.
Yeah.
He
got in a couple moves as the match got towards like the middle of it, but he was pretty much beat up the whole way.
And he pinned him with the mandible claw. So he didn't beat him with the mandible claw. He pinned him.
Yeah.
Rendered him basically...
unconscious.
Or unable to move.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll have to try that move on me later or something, because I don't know how it works.
We'll do it off the air.
It must suck. I heard it's a lot better with a sock. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's... not just that. The match went through. He wins. Then you hear the laugh.
Yeah.
The lights go out. The laugh happens. He goes up to the ramp.
That crazy super fast zoom from all the way down the ramp up to his face.
Right.
And it's just like, oh my God.
The way it's so funny how they've taken some of the things from like The Undertaker and some of these other, if you think about wrestling history, obviously everybody's influenced by so many different things.
Yeah.
But that turn was so Undertaker influenced. But it worked because that mask is so different. Imagine if you saw Kane do that with the red light, he wouldn't have been able to do it then. Because everybody said, oh, he's just doing what Kane does.
Yeah, he's doing the same old.
Such great thought
There's
process.
So much originality with this Fiend thing.
And not just that, nothing on Raw or SmackDown afterwards. They're keeping him special.
Yeah.
This to me is more special than Brock Lesnar. This is when it comes to, you don't want to overdo it. You want to continually bring it in when it needs to. Obviously they're going to bring him in when they need to, but I think it's
special. Let's speculate real fast. Who's next for Bray Wyatt?
I don't think it's the 24/7 championship.
No.
No, I think there's got to be somebody else on the list. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a member of the New Day.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of people that are... And I'm thinking inside here on this, because you always want to think about who's wrestling hurt or who wants time off because they're going to be next. That's the smart way of thinking of it. But with my heart, I don't know. What do you think?
Dude, you know, who knows? I mean, you speculated a couple weeks ago that it might have been Bray Wyatt trying to take out Roman Reigns. It doesn't seem like that's the route they're going, but I think it would be
almost
a top guy like that.
I don't see him being the champion, though.
Not yet.
It's going to be a while before he actually becomes a champion of some sort, and I think he actually has to have something else to him. Like, Undertaker had the Paul Bearer, and when he won the championship, Paul Bearer carried the title. I don't see a person like the Fiend carrying the title. Now, I see Bray Wyatt's you know, Funhouse character, totally carrying the title, putting it around Ramblin' Rabbit or whatever, you know.
The pig.
I think that would be great. But, you know, and that brings me to something. Who's the Intercontinental Champion right now?
That's a good question.
Who is the Intercontinental? Who is?
I don't even know.
I don't know either.
I thought it was Finn Balor. No, it's Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah. See, you're forgetting about this.
Yeah.
I think it might be somebody like him. I don't think it's going to be a top guy yet. I think it's going to be someone along the middle. I mean, if they bring Dolph back, it's totally going to be him.
Oh, gosh.
Because he'll put him over and be great. But I think the way it worked out with Finn, it looked totally legit. I think, yes, he's got to stay in the upper echelon. I don't know. Could it be Cedric Alexander? Because, I mean, he's up there now. Could it be Drew McIntyre? I doubt it.
Whoever it is, I'm sure it's going to be entertaining.
Dude, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
You know what I can't wait is for you to talk about the main event of the evening.
Oh, yeah, Brock Lesnar.
Dude, how good of a match was that?
Seth Rollins. And a short match. It wasn't that long.
No, but it was damn good.
Here's the thing I took out of this. The early curb stomp. Did that come out of nowhere? And how cool was that?
I loved it.
So that right there set the match off.
He got the jump on him, you know?
Right. And I think that when you go to pay-per-view, it's like, obviously, Raw and SmackDown have certain, you know, expectations. But at pay-per-view, you really want people to go all out. Seth Rollins did that. Then he does the frog splash off the, not top rope, but off the post.
Yeah.
Onto Brock Lesnar. Kills him, basically.
It was super good.
On the announcer table for Mexico. And, I thought it was great. It made Seth Rollins look huge.
Yeah. And, dude.
But it also made Brock look huge.
He did. Literally.
Grabbing him by the waistband.
Yeah.
And just yanking him.
Dude, how cool was that? It's like, how strong is this guy?
You
know what I mean?
Obviously, he fits the bill for his name. Dude, he's a beast.
Brock Lesnar. He's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah.
And I think SummerSlam was a perfect example of why I think so highly of him.
Yeah, it was a good match. But I picked that match.
Yeah.
And you did not.
I didn't pick the match.
You picked Brock Lesnar.
I did.
But
because I got Bayley right. Was it Bayley?
No. It was. See, here's the thing. We tied.
Okay. So the tie goes to the champion.
The tie goes to the champion because we're washing Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton.
Yep.
The only one you picked differently and one was Bayley. The only one I picked differently and one is Brock Lesnar. So you, yes, continue to be.
And still the Pro Wrestling Lifers champion, JJJJJR.
Whatever. Should I cash in?
You don't dare.
Huh?
You don't dare.
When's the next pay-per-view? You said Clash of Champions is on the 15th?
Yeah. Surprisingly, it's not the Night of Champions. It's the Clash of Champions. I didn't notice that the first time they played the little package for it.
Right.
Then I was like, wait a minute. Did that say Clash?
But that's almost a month away.
September 15th.
That's a month away.
Yeah. What the hell?
I thought there was something sooner than that. Isn't there something quicker than that? Because if not, I might have to cash in to be the champ for a whole month.
Can't do it. You'll have to pry it from my cold, dead grip.
I'm telling you, if I lose WrestleMania, I'm cashing that bad boy in.
Oh, you mother effer.
But hey, all in all, SummerSlam, besides technical issues, I got to say, I mean, if we're going to grade this, definitely an A-.
Yeah, I thought the show was that good, too.
Possibly a B-plus in some areas.
Yeah. And all around, I thought every match was good. And there were some that were great.
Well, it seemed like there was a moment in every match, even in the Bayley match,
yep,
that even in the Kofi and Orton match.
That was kind of the one, like we both agree, that was kind
of
the one.
It was a good match.
Yeah, but it was the down spot of like.
The RKO off the top rope.
Super rad.
Super cool. That's what I'm saying is there were certain spots in every match that really sold the pay-per-view. There wasn't anything that was just dull, didn't tell a good story, with the exception of the Bayley match at all. So. All in all, a really good pay-per-view. And, man, we've got a lot of wrestling going on. We're taping this on Friday, and we've got another Monday Night Raw and SmackDown coming up next week. This week on Raw, we saw a lot of stuff, too. Let me get in my notes here.
Yeah, right over here.
You know, Seth and AJ Styles was a good match.
Dude, champion versus champion. That's always exciting. I like that.
Again, WWE keeps surprising me, too, because you've got the Profits, the Street Profits, which I think they're going to be basically
Those guys are funny as hell.
On WWE pretty soon. They're going to drop those belts sometime soon.
I love seeing him backstage, and Dawkins, whatever his name is just asleep. He's got his water with him.
But the simple things. They're talking with Sami Zayn, who is one of the best talkers, if not the top two talkers in the entire WWE right now. And just the simplest thing of having Samoa Joe standing behind him while he's dogging. And then, of course, the camera pans back, and there's Samoa Joe. It's like, I miss this stuff. Why don't they do this more? I know people are so sick of it, but
simple stuff
makes it so much fun for me.
Yeah, I love it too.
I love simple, stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But Sami Zayn is 0 for 8 right now.
What?
He hasn't won in 8 matches.
But do you think that necessarily matters? Because we still look forward to seeing him every week.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
But that is interesting. I didn't know it was that long.
But at some point, it's kind of like Elias. I'm worried about Elias.
Yeah, you really are.
Because Elias is such, he's so great. Everything about him, I don't care. Every day he sung a song, it's never going to get tired to me.
Yeah.
But they've got to do something with him. And finally, they put the 24/7 belt on him.
They did. I was surprised.
I mean, well, they didn't put it on him. He won it fair and square.
Yeah.
Over.
He's had it before.
Was it over Drake Maverick? I can't remember the sequence of events.
It was over Truth, I thought, backstage.
Yeah, because Truth.
Because he was there with Mella, and he gets hit with a guitar and pinned.
Oh, that's right. He was back there talking. That's right. But yeah, but you know, so far this week, it's a good week for Elias. 24/7 champion. I haven't caught up with
even
him.
Even though he got speared by Edge.
True. I'd definitely take the spear for the championship eventually.
Yeah.
I haven't watched his Instagram or his Twitter feeds yet, so I don't know what shenanigans he's up to the 24/7 title.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's probably made it strung into a guitar at this point.
That'd be funny.
Six strings on it. But we did see a couple of things that were kind of wild on Raw. And I want to talk more about Raw because SmackDown, there was only one thing that really stood out to me. But with Raw, Dolph Ziggler, Miz, obviously they planned this match. Miz, you know, he does it again. Miz basically taps him out with a figure four, which hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Dolph gets on the mic. It's merely a flesh wound. Yeah. He comes back and, you know.
Skull-crushing finale.
Boom. Is this Dolph's exit? Is he done for a minute?
You know, that's the question you proposed at the opening of this show, and I don't know. I think he's doing some of his best stuff right now.
He is. I hope he's not.
So that's such a tough question. Do I think? Yeah, probably, but I hope not.
See, there's rumors backstage that are talking about Dolph like walking in and saying, hey, thanks, Vince. This has been great. We'll see in a little while.
Yeah.
And then Vince talked him into something.
Ah.
Or possibly.
I hear Vince is pretty good at that.
Yeah, because I think, you know, basically what Dolph's been saying, he's on a handshake contract. And he's going to be loyal, obviously, to WWE. But yeah. I think before he left, I think Vince probably said something, did something. There's rumors of him doing something, but I don't think they're true.
Hey, you know what? At SummerSlam, I'll put you in the ring with Goldberg.
But here's the thing. He did the same thing to Mark Henry. We watched Mark Henry talk about
right.
how Mark Henry's done. I'm broken. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Oop, just signed a 5-year deal.
Walked out with a 5-year extension.
So
he's like, what the hell just happened?
I think this might happen with Dolph because there's looming competition.
Mm-hmm.
I think there might be some kind of contractual, real contract going on. And you're right. I've bragged about this, or not bragged about this, boasted about this. What Dolph's been doing lately is his best stuff ever.
He's
really hit a stride. I love the whole, you know, it's merely a flesh wound stuff. I hope he does that a little bit more.
Yep.
There's a lot of fun things out of it, but is he done? I don't know. Could be, could not be.
If one of the competitors in the King of the Ring gets kind of taken out, I could see Dolph in there.
Well, he was nearly the best in the world.
Yeah. Exactly. So this is another tournament style thing, and he kind of excels in that.
Tell me, is the King of the Ring just going to be on Raw itself, the whole King of the Ring, or is it just going to be round one this week?
It's going to be, they're going to stretch it out, and the finale will be at the Clash of Champions in September.
All right, so we'll crown a king there, pretty much.
King Booker!
I don't know, man.
Remember that?
King Benjamin sounds really good.
It does kind of sound cool.
It does sound cool. But he's,
and I like him.
He's super underappreciated.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, this smells of, you remember Jinder Mahal when he really hit his stride? And I just heard, too, that Jinder is out for a little while. He's got injuries. But I miss Jinder because his with his yoga stuff and whatever he's doing is great. But yeah, I think this might be a moment where you see Sheldon Benjamin really come into being Sheldon Benjamin again.
It could be cool, man.
That would be cool.
Because they're doing the whole thing right now where, oh, let's throw it backstage to Charlie Caruso with Shelton Benjamin.
But he could play. I mean,
and he kind of just winks at the camera and just is quiet. And I don't know. It's kind of some mystique to him.
But I think there's still something there that obviously the some people see, some people don't in the backstage. I really can see him walking around with a really renewing his whole persona as king with a scepter, with a crown.
Servants around him with the fans, feeding him grapes.
For sure.
Oh, dude, I'd love to see that.
God, that would be so great.
Why are we booking this stuff?
But see, Samoa Joe, though.
Dude, King Joe?
I see him after he wins destroying the crown and scepter. Yeah. Shoving it up somebody's butt.
Yeah, I don't need scepter to show you that I'm the king of the ring.
But you also made a good point of, when it comes to Baron Corbin.
King Corbin. How much? Dude, heat effing magnet.
I'm telling you, that would be great.
I would be ripped.
He would be another one that would just like, look at me.
I'd be ripped.
He would be, people would be throwing out petals in front of him and stuff. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be so
cool. Oh, it would make me so mad, but it would be so cool, kind of. I don't know. I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, because I can't see Kevin Owens being the king.
No.
I see him getting screwed out of it with Shane, since Shane's not done with him yet.
And Drew McIntyre's in the tournament, right?
Man, I just, he's too cool for the king.
Yeah. Like the king of the ring, I think he's like lying in wait to be one of the dudes, right?
Right.
I think the king of the ring tournament is designed to take somebody up that step.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, you're a player now.
Yeah, it has to be. Or someone that's lost the step and
exactly
back.
Getting it back.
Yeah, I think you're right. And man, we could speculate about this all day because it's pretty exciting stuff.
Oh, hell, King Corbin.
I still have two more things to talk about. One thing is Rey Mysterio over.
Yeah, man. I don't know. He dropped those L's pretty quickly in the 2 out of 3 falls match.
Right. And Andrade looked amazing.
He really did. And on the Wrestling Observer, they're talking about...
Old Davey Boy?
Yeah, they're talking about... What was it? I just had it here for you. It was about Dominic. It says, according to the Wrestling Observer, they want Dominic to get back into the ring, and this angle with Rey Mysterio losing might kind of be the catalyst to get him involved. I don't know. To me, it's like, well, what if you put him behind the mask?
Or put him behind Sin Cara's.
That could be kind of cool.
Because Ray's got a certain body type, and Dominic's a bit bigger.
And the tattoos and everything.
Dominic's a bit bigger than him, but could he pull off
Sin Cara? He needs to bulk up, though.
He can pull off Sin Cara, possibly, without the big arm tattoo. Or maybe he can pull off Doink.
Oh, come on.
Put him under makeup, man.
Come on.
Bring back Doink the Clown.
Don't trash on Doink.
Dude, Doink was one of my favorites.
Doink and Dink.
When I got my first wrestling game, WWE wrestling game,
yeah,
I was always Doink.
Really?
And I would beat everybody with the sit off the top rope every single time. The other thing I needed to talk about, Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, what is this?
Tell me.
Listeners of the show know that we're a big fan of Buddy.
Buddy's great.
He got his butt handed to him by Mr. Reigns, though.
Do you think? Buddy Murphy looked and had the best match we've seen on Raw or SmackDown. Best match, hands down, in a long time. That match with Roman Reigns. No. It wasn't good. That match should have been 5-star because they didn't put him on the table and break the table. It would have been a 5-star match.
Yeah.
The back and forth of the match, with Buddy being what, we were PO'd because he went to SmackDown. Got lost, basically.
Yep.
And apparently, what I'm hearing, 50-50 chance on this being true, the whole Buddy Murphy thing backstage was just a happy accident that he was actually in the shot and wasn't supposed to be.
Interesting.
And then they brought that angle and said, well, we're just going to run with it because everybody on the internet was like, oh, it's Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
And so now that's 50-50. Maybe WWE planned that. You don't know. But
or maybe they're just capitalizing on you said.
We'll hear it on a Pritchard podcast, I'm sure, someday soon that they actually planned it. But,
in about 20 years.
It came into where he's now on the pre-show of SummerSlam, getting jacked on a post from Rowan.
Yep.
Then of course, having interactions with both Rowan and Daniel Bryan, saying you're going to lie, you know, and all that stuff. So he's getting some attention right now, and it's well deserved.
Good for him, yeah.
But dude, that
guy's a star.
If you are blanking on that match, please go back and watch it.
I will.
It was so freaking good. It was better than Brock Seth Rollins.
From SummerSlam?
Yes.
What are you saying right now?
Dude, I could not. I watched the match twice.
What?
And not just that, but it was a rough match because you saw Roman afterwards. He had some bruises around the eyes and stuff like that. So, but he was also getting some rust off a little bit from not being in the ring that much.
It was
a freaking phenomenal match. Well, I can't wait to see what's next. I hope this is ascending Buddy Murphy up the ladder.
So, I mean, it's certainly a step in the right way.
Can you imagine him, Shinsuke Nakamura?
Oh, my goodness, dude.
What a match that would be.
That's just a recipe
for
five
that's
stars.
At least two matches, maybe three matches that you have to see. So
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys would put on a stellar show. That's all I got, man.
Yeah?
That's all I got.
Dude, what a week.
We're still waiting on Daniel Bryan for the career-altering announcement.
Yeah. I mean...
By the way, who nearly killed Roman Reigns?
I don't know, but I was going to say at the opening of the show, I found out I have a lot more in common with Roman Reigns than I thought.
What's that?
Aside from us being both studly, tall, dark, and handsome.
They always wear your hair wet.
Wet and slicked right back. Right. We were both in car accidents last week.
Oh, yeah, dude. That was you had me worried.
Yeah, it sucked, man. This first time I ever experienced something like that. Thankfully, I'm cool. It was a little bit sad today. I said goodbye to my first car, got towed away. I got into a new one. So there's a silver lining at the end of all of it. But it sucked. That was one of the reasons we had to push back the show this week.
Yeah, and last week we did a little bit too because of that, which was, by all means. Plus, I was worried about your health, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're good because...
It wasn't Samoa Joe that hit me.
No, it wasn't?
No.
Was it Rowan or was it Daniel Bryan?
She looked more like Awesome Kong.
Really?
Yeah. So there's that.
But glad you're okay.
Yeah, man. I'm feeling good. Feels good to be the champ.
Oh, my God.
Feels good to hold on to this title.
I have to deal with that for how many more weeks?
Thank you.
I'm just going to...
It was so...
I need a ref to cash it in.
So wait, you... Yeah, you do. You,
dang it!
You picked against Bayley? Was that what happened?
What's that?
You picked against Bayley? Is that why you lost?
See, and that was a good pick. It wasn't... Randy Orton was a bad pick, but that became a wash, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But that was a good pick. That was a good pick.
Bayley's my girl. I'll always pick her.
She'll disappoint you really soon.
Never.
Every pay-per-view from now on, you have to pick Bayley for the next year.
I think I already do.
No. No, you don't.
I love Bayley.
Ah,
well, dude, right. Anyway, give me a quick update on our blog.
Yeah, you can catch the blog on all the Midwest Communication radio stations. Just look up Pro Wrestling Collective. It'll be the first thing that comes to your search engine, hopefully. If not... Search for it. We've got all of our contributors throughout the company pushing together that, so you'll get some serious updates. You'll also find this paper or podcast there as well.
I think it could be kind of cool to do some sort of deep dive into a particular controversy or story, maybe with some of our other colleagues from the other companies.
I think it'd be great. I wouldn't mind actually talking with some of them every once in a while. Yeah. Maybe we can get them on the phone for the podcast. That'd be cool too. I've got some other wrestling friends. I've got one in Mario and Lexington, who is always commenting on our stuff now.
Cool.
He's huge, huge wrestling fan, a huge Ric Flair fan.
I bet he loves Bayley too.
He hates Bayley.
Come on.
He thinks Bayley is the worst.
You're crazy.
But he's one of the nicest guys in the world.
Well, he doesn't seem like it.
Well, I'll tell him that because I think I'm going to see him in 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
So the other thing is you can catch us on any of the rock stations that you listen to in these areas, like Sioux Falls.
That's cool. Whether it comes to
Knoxville, Tennessee, or that comes to Terre Haute, Indiana. Geez, Wausau, Wisconsin, Lansing, Michigan, and you can also get us on the Nashville websites of I-1067 and 96.3 Jack FM.
That's cool, man. And before we do wrap this up, Ring of Honor is in Nashville next weekend, I believe.
Are you going?
I think I'm going to go. This is, again, the farewell to the fairgrounds. They've been using that moniker for several months now.
Well,
but
hopefully this one will be better than the last farewell.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one's Ring of Honor. Production value should be a little bit better.
Are you going to go to the Party City and get some streamers to throw?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have at least 15 or something in your pocket.
Yeah, I will.
They'll let you in with streamers?
No, you got to buy them.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, they get you.
Dang it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know who to expect in that show. I don't really know anybody in Ring of Honor really anymore besides Marty.
Right.
The villain. But I'm sure, I mean, wrestling is wrestling. You can enjoy it regardless.
I'm sure next week's podcast we'll be able to cover it a little bit more on kind of what's going
to
happen.
And I'm actually, with my intention from the Overdrive show that I went to, I'm going to try to capture some audio, play it during the podcast, do that whole song and dance. So, I just hope it's a little bit better.
That'll be great. That'll be awesome. Plus, you're still on a high of watching the WWE live here in town, so that was fun, too.
Yeah, man, that was great. They'll be back here in December for Monday Night Raw. We cannot miss that.
The 6th, right?
December 7th, I think.
December 7th?
Yeah, it's a Monday night.
6th or 7th, I can't
remember.
Something
like that.
We'll be there for sure.
Damn
all right,
dude.
I think we're done.
Yeah, for Moose, I'm JR. This has been Pro Wrestling Lifers. And we'll catch you next week. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
Rip 'em.